and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. All right, number three, he's to cherish her. That word literally means to keep warm. And it also means to show tender love, affection, appreciation, and care. When you cherish something, that means that you have a tender disposition toward it. You have an appreciation for it, that you have a care for it, but also it means to keep something warm, that you're providing the security where she's not cold, where she's not neglected. She's not being neglected. She's kept warm. You're supposed to cherish her. You're supposed to keep her with a good feeling on the inside about the relationship, to keep her warm on the inside. That there's always love bubbling up in her for you. You're supposed to cherish her. Number four, he is to live with her according to knowledge. That means information received through prayer. If a man will pray and fast, pray for his wife, God will give him the information he need to minister to her. I told y'all about the time when CC had kind of shut down, the communication was being blocked, and she wasn't trying to do it intentionally. She just didn't know how to tell me what she was going through. I mean, you know, sometimes you have feelings that you can't describe, or you want to say something and you don't have the words to do it. Well, she was in one of those places. And so this is going on for like 3 days. So I got up out of my bed, went into the living room, and sat down and said, now, Lord, I don't know what's going on with your daughter back there, but you know, you need to get her straight. And then the Lord straightened me out. See, well, she liked that because you did this. Okay, it wasn't nothing really bad, but it was an adjustment that he wanted me to make. So I made the adjustment. And then he told me three things that was wrong with her, why she was feeling like she's feeling. He said, now she's feeling, this is how she's feeling. She's feeling this way because of that. She's feeling this way because of this. She's feeling this way because of this right here. And I say, wow. I say, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know she was going through all of that. And it wasn't nothing bad. She wasn't mad at me. She wasn't bitter toward me. It wasn't nothing directed toward me. It was just something she was going through. So I got up after I finished fellowship with the Lord and thanking him, saying, Lord, I didn't know that you was going to be a part of our marriage to this degree. I had no idea that I could talk to you about a problem in my marriage and that you would give me specific answers. I said, nobody ever told me that you would be this intimate with me about my relationship with my wife. Thank you. I've learned a lesson for the rest of my life. And then I went back to the bedroom and I shared with her. I said, now, see, I woke up. I said, now, Cece, you feel this way because it is. Yeah. I said, you feel this way because it is. By then, she's working up a cry now. I said, and you feel this way because it is. And she burst into tears. She said, Greg, how did you know? I wanted to tell you, I didn't know how to tell you. How did you know I was feeling all of that? I said, the Lord just told me what you was going through. Now, that worked wonders in our relationship right there. First of all, it let her know that I heard from God. That's security in that, know you married to somebody that God talked to, and that person got sense enough to listen. Okay? Praise God. It let her know, the second blessing, it let her know that God knew exactly what she was going through. He knew exactly how she felt. He knew her heart. Right down to the nitty gritty. He knew exactly what was going on in her life. And then he let both of us know We were not by ourselves. I'm going to tell you, that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying operating by revelation. When you get information from God about your life together and about what God wants to do in your life, the right time to do things, the having the right timing and the sequence of things, all of that comes by revelation. There was another time we were fasting and praying together. I thank God because I say, hey, let's fast and pray for a month. She didn't say, I ain't fasting. You fast. How many wives would do that? God telling you to fast. He ain't told me to fast. If your husband came here and say, hey, I think we need to fast, what you going to tell him? I ain't fasting. That's God ain't told me about no fasting. He ain't got to tell you. If he tell that man he wants y'all to fast, that's like a word from God. So I told her, I said, we need to fast. She said, okay. So we started fasting together. The 27th day of the fast, God began to talk to me about what he was going to do in her life. And if you really want to know the truth of it, that a woman's assignment and her destiny in God really ought to come, a major portion of it needs to come through her husband and not some other man. A woman shouldn't have to come to church to find out what she's called to do. Where's she supposed to get that? She's supposed to get that from her husband, from the Lord and from the husband. Now, it's all right. God used those spiritual gifts. He put them in the church because he knew that we wasn't going to always be operating like we need to. So those gifts are there to help us. But the plan is that a woman submit to her husband. When she respect him, she's able to receive from him. If she ever lose respect for him, then he can't say nothing to her. And she won't receive a thing from him, and she cutting her own blessing off. I mean, you know, the Lord correct the church, then a husband have a right to correct his wife. But some women won't take no correction. No, you don't tell me what to do. You don't, I mean, the neck action be gone. They got neck, hip, all that going at the same time. Hands going, finger come out. You can see in the spirit, the fingernails done popped out. You don't, who you think you is? You don't tell. My daddy don't even tell me what to do. You know, they'll bring family into it. My mama don't even tell me what to do. Who you think you is? Well, that's your husband. So you have to live with them according to knowledge. That's a man's responsibility to be a prophet, a priest, and a king in his own home. He's a prophet because he speaks the word to his family. He's a priest because he cares for them, he nurtures them, he prays for them, he intercedes for them, and he's a king because he sets the boundaries of his domain. And he determined what go and what come. Amen? As a king goes, so go the kingdom. You get a bad king, you're going to have a bad kingdom. You get a good king, you got a good kingdom. I done made some tough decisions. I told Gabriel one time he couldn't play All-Stars, and CeCe didn't buck with me. She didn't fight, let that boy play. When I told her what God spoke to me, she said, okay. She trusted me. She submitted. Look at the blessing that flowed. See, it ain't no curse in submission. There ain't no curse in love and laying it down and me consulting with her and saying, CeCe, this is what I'm getting in the spirit. See, I'm operating by revelation. Amen. By my family. I'm getting information from God. You know, when they ask me if they can go somewhere, you know what I do? I check with God first. Amen. Amen. Dad, can I go here? Sometimes I don't say nothing right off. Because I'm checking my spirit. Is this okay? One time Gabe came to us, wanted to go. They have a big old thing out there at the Coliseum out there and that exhibition hall out there, a teenage night. He said, all the teenagers, just going to be teenagers there. And he wanted to go, all his friends going. I said, well, so I don't feel good about this. I say, CeCe, let's go ride over there first. And rode over there, and they got police all outside. And then one of the sheriff deputies that we knew came up to the car, and I say, well, what y'all doing here, the high school thing? He said, man, it's going to be more than high school people here. He said, we frisking them before they go in. I said, man, they shut down Rapides Parish here a couple of weeks ago. One of these things. See, every police car in the parish, city and parish, shut the whole parish down to come take care of disturbance out there. He said, mine ain't going in there. Now, Mr. Hatter, you can do what you want to do. I said, if yours ain't going there, mine ain't either. He a policeman. He brought his son out there because he was there. His son didn't even want to come back no more. So I went home and delivered the news to Gabe. I said, no, Gabe, you ain't going. We got back, Gabe. He was sharp. That boy done decked down. Boy, he just know the answer going to be yeah. That boy, he done groomed up. Gabe going to be looking good. And then you'll be looking good right at home. That's what I'm talking about, operation by revelation. Check your spirit out before you get. Look, you might have told them, yeah, they could do that activity 15 times. And on the 16th time, the Lord may tell you no. And they won't understand that. I done been 15 times. Why I can't go today? You just ain't going today. I don't feel right about it. And they don't understand. But you got to stand your ground. Say, no, you ain't going today. I don't care how many times you went. We used to try that with my daddy. Daddy, can we go? No, you ain't going. Why? Because I say you ain't going. That's all we get. I say you ain't going. I say, well, so-and-so, we call all our little aunts and uncles out. So-and-so letting their children go. So-and-so letting them go. All of them going. We're going to be the only ones at home. I don't care what so-and-so do with their household. Y'all ain't going. And that was it. Then you go try to slip and ask mama what your daddy say. Daddy in there too. All right, number five, give honor to his wife. Now, this is extremely important, to give honor to his wife. Not only is he to love, but he's to give honor to her. That means he's to treat her as if she's the most important person in his life, because she really is.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Here on the battleground, for your glory, we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
Anoint my head.
Oh, yeah.
Anoint my... Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the media ministries of Kingdom First Ministries of Bossier City, Louisiana, with Minister Catherine Young. Listen now to a word in season from Minister Catherine Young from a message already in progress.
Grace is. He would talk to us. He would say things to us, but we sit quiet like we just as innocent as all our doors. Can't be talking to me. I know many of us scared now, but don't be. If I told you some of the things that I've heard and seen, you would be literally shaking in your seat when it comes to the side of darkness. But most of us believe that the devil is not real, the wolf is not real, that he's just an illusion in our mind. And if the devil is not after you and he's not bothering you, you're not doing something right in regards to the kingdom. Amen. Because everybody I know in the kingdom of God is getting some kind of pressure put on them. One way or the other. And if you're living good, he really going to come after you. He's going to tempt you in all kind of ways, all type of ways there is. He's going to tempt you. Because, see, before you got saved, you had a life of sin. Unless you've been saved since you was a baby. Not like me. I wasn't. But those things that used to overtake me in the world, do you know not that the enemy will come to revisit me sometime? Okay, I'm just saying about me. Okay, because I know y'all holy. Y'all done had tea with God, and that don't happen to y'all. But every once in a while, you hear them good beats and that music on, and you want to stop and drop it like it's hot. And you know you can't, because now you holy. You know what I'm saying? You smell that cologne that whatever his name, Darryl Rickey, used to wear. And your mind go back to Darryl Rickey, and I know I'm a married woman. All right, that's just me. I'm going to go on with y'all religious selves. But see, the enemy, he gonna always come and check and see if the house is clean. But see, us as saints, only thing we want to do is to rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. But see, you can't rebuke no devil if you're living with him. You can't rebuke the devil if you're walking with him. You can't rebuke him because he gonna steady come. Oh, I could go to that club and go out there and minister to people and get people saved. I heard Pastor Karen and Brother John and them Tuesday night, and they was talking about how they go to Coco Pellis and minister. I was like, Lord, I can't do that. Because, see, you got to be really know that God called you somewhere. Just like some of us have been on crack before, not me. But I can't go to the crack house. You know, some people can't go to the crack house. Amen. But if I go to Coco Palace and they start with that music, I'm going to be dancing in the club. All right. Go ahead on with y'all little holy selves. Amen. But if I told you some of the things I'd heard and told you, like I said, some of the things that I've seen on the dark side, that keeps me on the side of light. Amen. Because it's no joke out there. You are no competition for the devil if you're not walking with God. Amen. We playing our boyish games, and I was looking up and I was sitting up there and I was thinking about this story. It's childlike, it's juvenile, immature, irresponsible, silly, self-indulgent, foolish, babyish. That's what that scripture said. This is the time we is, because we're not conscious of things that's happening around us. Amen. Going on in life as usual. Some of us get up in the morning and we just go on with life as usual. We don't send our angels before us to prepare the way. Amen. We driving in our cars, life as usual. We just doing our thing. You see, that's what happened with this shepherd boy. He was not really conscious of what was going on around him. He just thought he was playing games. He was living life as usual, tending to the master's sheep. And the whole time, that big bad wolf was scoping him out. Do you think that wolf just showed up that day? That wolf wasn't going to come out. He watched him go run and play them games. He watched from in the dark. He watched him go, ooh, planning that trick and go, whoop, whoop to the people. So the devil's just sitting back watching and saying, you know what? Them village people gonna get real tired of that. And when they get real tired, I'm gonna bust my move. And that's just like us in our time. It reminds me of us as a church. We like that shepherd boy playing silly games, simply unaware of really what's going on around us. Amen? And just like the wolf, the enemy, the devil, he's watching and waiting just for the right time. You see? While we continually being desensitized by what's on TV, what's in the media, all those things, even the stresses of life, the enemy is sitting back watching how we react. And we don't have no discernment like we should as saved folks living for God. We should be knowing something is really going on here. Amen. We're sitting around in our own little forest in our mind, numb, bored, not vigilant, caught up with ourselves. I have never seen such a thing as I have seen now. We so caught up with our job, our family, our children, everything else caught up with except God. Amen. And all the while, church, the enemy is waiting on his opportune time to just catch you off guard. Amen. This little notion of mine, it came to my mind long ago, but even before Bishop asked me to speak. Do y'all remember this doomsday prophet who just came up? His name is Harold Camping. And when he cried wolf, claiming the world was going to end on the 21st of May. Now all of us remember that. It was all on the news, it was everywhere. And mind you, this was his second wrong prediction. Now he's saying it's gonna end on 21st of October, cause he messed up his math, okay? People all over was influenced by his teaching. If you go and read into some of the blogs, they had sold their homes, their cars, they closed bank accounts, was taking vacation, just doing crazy stuff. But what was shocking to me was not only was the world, the sinners, scared at the news headlines, and the headlines just egging this thing on and on and on, but church folk were just as quiet and scared. We were scared in the church. Question. What would have happened if Jesus really had come? This man crying wolf, and not just him, people before him crying wolf. Ask yourself right now, what would have happened if Jesus really had come? Would you have been ready? See, that gives you something to think about. It really got to me as I was seeing all these different things going on. And even after the prediction fell, the world and the church went on with business as usual. Not sensing that something was really, really going on in the spirit realm. How many of y'all knew something else was going on that we couldn't see? It was something when I heard that prediction and that day came, I was praying. And I wasn't afraid that Jesus was going to come or any of that. I was praying because it was something going on in the dark that we could not see. That the enemy was really trying to set us up, but we was going on with life as usual. Ha, ha, ha. Nothing happened. Oh, well. And some of us just were relieved. Woo! And then people walk around saying different things. Oh, Bishop, you still here, so I know we wasn't left behind. Oh, they see a Christian. Oh, you still here? I know we wasn't left behind. But we went on with life as usual, continuing our lives. We hearing things. We watching things. You listening on the news. The world is erupting all over us. Oh, did you hear about that bishop that caught with all them little boys? That's all on TV. Oh, did you hear about that preacher that came out the closet and said he was gay? All this wolf crying. Oh, we see earthquakes. Boom, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes touching down everywhere. These things happening where they're not common. And we going on with life as usual. When they told me that an earthquake hit Arkansas, I say, what? Arkansas? Arkansas, and I start seeing tornadoes, all this devastation, all these different things hitting all over. And in my spirit, it's leaping inside of me saying, God, something is going on here. But some of us didn't have a clue what was going on. We just abiding our time. Go and get your manicures, pedicures, go and get your hair done, hanging out with your boys, doing your thing. And we didn't sense anything that was happening, yada, yada, yada. Did you hear about that congressman that got tweeted naked pictures of himself? That's the news this week. Then next week it'll be some more church stuff, and it'll go on and on. And then we'll keep hearing stuff about tornadoes and hurricanes and this and that. With all these events and troubles going on in earth, our discernment within us should have been stirring up like crazy. We should have been shaking and getting on our knees saying, God, what is happening in this earth? What are you saying? Is it something I'm missing that I don't see that I need to see? But we going on with life as usual, still playing our games. Many of us perhaps summed up all these events as, well, life just happens. Now, if many of us, some of the oldest ones, if we go back, life ain't used to happen like this. Amen. You didn't see all these devastations and these travesties like they are now. And if you did see them, they were every once in a while. Oh, and don't never hear something about what a preacher did. Oh, my, it was the most awful thing in the world. But when we hear something that a preacher do now, we just laugh. He did it. He did it. He did it. We the tornado. We see the devastation. We see it. As I looked at that tsunami on TV in Japan, tears welled up in my eyes. That looked like plumb darkness across the people. God, what are you doing and what are you saying? And I know I'm not the only one that felt this. I know I wasn't the only one looking at this man on all the news channels. The earth is going to end for May. Picture of is the Lord. What is he? Because I didn't say, he's going to come. He's going to be called. Matthew 4:36-39 says, yes, yes, God. That day, no one knows that. At the heaven angel, even some God. Only the Father knows. Amen. And then if you go ahead and you read down through 37 and 39, listen to this and listen very good. The arrival of the Son of Man would take place in times like Noah. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. They knew nothing until that flood came and swept them all away. This time we in is not a it's no coincidence. This happened years ago. Noah was out preaching. Ooh, it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain.
Head, anoint my feet, send your angels raining down here on the battleground. For your glory, we're taking.
Minister Young, hope you were blessed by this in season word. You may contact Minister Young at 318-286-0881 or write Minister Young at Kingdom First Ministries, LLC, Post Office Box 72011, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71172-2011 or email her at Queen, that's Q-U-E-E-N-I-S-A-S-E-R-V-A-N-T @gmail.com. Also, Minister Young's is an author of a best-selling book, Women of War. This book taught the body of Christ how to live a victorious life through a study of the Word. If you desire a copy of this book, you may phone Minister Young at 318-286-0881. Again, listen to Minister Young at this same time next week. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.
We're waging war.
Be my sword, be my shield, as we claim the victory
over the enemy.
Over the enemy.
Head, anoint my.
This This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1.